Holy God, we come before you today as people of faith, lifting our prayers and those names that are before us and those special needs that are in our lives and in our hearts, those things which we lift to you in secret or in silence or in community. We pray that you would lead us forward as your people. That you'd lead our leaders in the life of this congregation as we seek to bring a witness to our faith in this community, as we seek to point the way to the light of Christ for those who are looking for a light, for children who have little support at home, for parents who have little income and little ability to earn. For people who speak another language and struggle to fit in to the culture and society of this community, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to find ways to reach out to people. That you would help us find ways to build bridges and build relationships as we look across the lines. Help us to find common ground to stand on, that we might stand as your people, as people of faith, regardless of our differences, and that we might find ways to look at what we have in common instead of looking at what we have that makes us different. God, for those young ones among us, we give you thanks for the inspiration and the hope that they offer, even those who have just had a birthday, a first or a second one. We thank you for their energy, their smiles, their youth, their enthusiasm, their risk-taking. We thank you for their wisdom that we can have if we just pay attention. Lord, we thank you this morning that we get together as a people of faith and freedom in this place, and that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, that we can give honor and praise to your name, to your precious holy name, and that we can together lift up your name in worship and in praise. With the gift of music to inspire us, O Lord, we seek to honor you in all that we say and do, in our work, in our world, in our Mondays and Wednesdays, in our ways that we treat one another and the ways that we relate to our grandchildren or our grandparents. We trust, O Lord, that you have made a way for us toward the light, that you have made a way of peace. We lift especially Melanie Bradley this morning. And we lift her and all the others that we name in our hearts in these moments, that we name in these moments of quiet. Help us not to always pray in a minor key, O God. To examine our hearts in a minor key and to lift our penitence and our hopes to you. But help us to find the ways to a major key that will bring us into the light of your presence and your holiness, that will bring us into the enthusiasm and the grace that comes from knowing you in Christ Jesus. And now, Lord, we lift up this prayer and we leave it at your feet in the name and for the sake of Jesus the Christ, the one who teaches us to pray together with words like these. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As part of our sermon today, I'd like to share with you from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. These verses begin in a minor key, but they move to a major key pretty quickly because the disciples are encouraged with the presence of the risen Christ, the risen Lord. Chapter 21, this is the last chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 19, a fitting reading for the day after Easter. Or the day after Easter. I invite you to this reading, John 21, 1 through 19, and listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Later, Jesus himself appeared to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And this is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, also called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, that would be James and John, and two other disciples were gathered together, and Simon Peter told them, "I am going fishing." And they said, "Then we'll go with you." And they set out in a boat. But throughout the night, they caught nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus himself stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus called them, "Children, have you caught nothing to eat?" And they answered him, "No." And he said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And so they did, and there were so many fish that they could not haul them in the net. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. For they weren't far from the shore, only about 100 yards. And when they had landed, they saw a fire there, with fish on it, and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." And Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to the shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net had not torn, even with so many fish. And Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." And Jesus asked him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus came to him and said, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Then feed my sheep." He went on, "I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and you walked around wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and another will tie your belt and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to show the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this, the last chapter of John's Gospel, we have this sweet story of the appearance of Jesus to the disciples, especially to Peter. It's one of what we call the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. They're sprinkled out through the Gospels, some seven or so of them, some common between one or more Gospels, and some unique. Perhaps if you've studied the Gospels, you know already that John's descriptions of events like this tend to be the ones that are unique. John's descriptions are feeling from the heart. Not just accounts of facts, but heartfelt passion and compassion. And in this passage, it seems as though the disciples had almost given up. They were out in a boat. It was as though they had said, "Well, Jesus is gone now. We now go back to the life that we loved." You remember that Jesus chose fisher people to be His disciples, don't you? He pulled them right out of the water, away from their own livelihood, away from their own families, away from their parents, maybe. Jesus pulled them out of their livelihood of fishing on the Sea of Galilee and said, "Come with me and I will make you fish for people." What did that mean? It meant catching people. It meant magnetizing, bringing people into the kingdom of Christ, into the life of faith, into the reflections of God Himself, so that the people, the common people, the commonest people, the ones that would listen to fishermen, the ones that would listen to those common men, the teachers of how to fish and teachers of how to fish for disciples. Jesus said, "Cast your net out on the right side of the boat." Well, I don't know if that means move it from the left to the right or move it from the wrong to the right. Move your nets to the right side of the boat and you will bring in a catch. You will find some fish. And so they did. And they caught so many that they couldn't even haul in the nets. The nets were breaking. This is the curious part. Why the number? Why the number of fish? They brought in a huge catch of fish and they brought them in. They wrapped them up and they brought them up onto the seashore. And when they got there, they were probably anticipating a meal. But when they got there, they found that Jesus already had fish. Who knows how He got them? He already had fish. They were cleaned and they were grilling right there on the campfire. A charcoal fire, it said. A charcoal fire. Where He would ask Peter, again and again, Lord, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And Peter would say, yes, Lord, you know I love you. You may remember that Peter denied Jesus by a charcoal fire. There are only two places in the Gospel of John where a charcoal fire is mentioned. One is where Peter denied Jesus three times. You remember that? And this one is where Jesus asked him, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And the third time, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus, I believe, accepting his answer, accepting Peter's answer, said, then feed my lambs. Feed those who depend on me. Feed those who are vulnerable. Feed them with some of the fish that you have caught. Share your blessing with others. Jesus said, feed my lambs. So two campfires. One where Peter denies that he even knows this Jesus. When Jesus isn't around, but only a servant is around and says, I think I recognize you. You're one of the ones who was with Jesus. And Peter said, nope, wasn't me. You got the wrong guy. Three times around that fire, Peter denied that he knew Jesus the Lord. And now, on this occasion, he has an opportunity to undo that. You know what a deal it is to undo things? We can't really undo things in this life. Once we've done something, the time has passed, the moment is gone, it is done. It's a done deed, a done deal. Oh, we can be forgiven, but we can't undo the damage that what we do may have done. We can't undo what has been set in stone. But in this case, I think Peter has a unique opportunity to undo what he has done in the past, where he denied that he even knew the Lord. Now he has an opportunity by the same charcoal fire to acknowledge the Lord and to give the Lord thanks. And in this moment, Peter has the opportunity to undo the denial that he has done at the previous campfire. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says something so curious. Then feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed those whom I care for and those whom I love. And Peter takes this seriously. Peter takes it so seriously that Peter becomes the leader of the early church. Peter becomes the one who would feed many lambs, many sheep, who would preach to thousands of people as on the day of Pentecost, which is yet to come. That Peter would preach and redeem those who have fallen away and those who have found the way. But still, Jesus' answer is troubling to Peter. And when Jesus said the third time, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter must have thought, why is he still asking me this? Oh, it's easy for us to see Jesus' side. He wanted to be sure. He wanted to be sure and certain that this disciple, the one who led the other disciples, the one who had become part of the groundwork of the early church, Jesus wanted to be sure that Peter's faith was strong and secure. And so he said to him, "If you really love me, then feed my sheep. Feed those who depend on me." And Jesus leaves this whole encounter with the message to Peter, "Follow me, follow me. Don't just point the way, but follow me and lead others." I place myself at this seashore here. This group of disciples that went out fishing because they were finally discouraged enough. This Jesus that they'd placed so much hope in had finally gone from them. And they decide with predictability, I think, "Let's just go fishing." It was Peter, I think, that said that. Simon Peter just said, well, guys, let's go fishing. That was the thing that they knew. It was the thing that they found comfortable. Peter said, "Let's go fishing." And even at that moment, that common practice, that activity that they had known so many times, so many early mornings and probably late evenings, they were out on the water pulling in some fish, struggling all night without catching anything, and suddenly as the dawn was just about to break, Jesus appeared to them and said, "Put your net out on the other side of the boat." Now, I've heard some preachers say, "Put your net out on the right side of the boat." Not just the right as opposed to the left, but the right as opposed to the wrong. The correct side of the boat. "Put your net out on the right side of the boat." Well, I don't know that mattered so much. I think Jesus just meant for them to change direction a little bit. "Put your net out on the other side of the boat." And as they turned an about face, as they turned from their giving up to their giving in to Jesus, they put their net out on the other side of the boat. And they caught so many fish that their nets were barely able to hold them all. Jesus talked about the abundant life. He said, "Follow me and you will have life abundantly." I don't know that we've ever even experienced that. If we could follow Jesus in that way and experience that life abundantly, we would be overwhelmed with fish. We would be overwhelmed with joy and with numbers of people. If we could just follow Jesus' advice and put the net out on the other side of the boat. We could just feed the sheep that Jesus calls us to feed and be responsible for. If we could just count less and believe more. If we could just hold on to the promise of faith that Jesus holds more for us than we could possibly imagine. Jesus, who calls us to feed His sheep. He calls us to feed His sheep, but mostly He calls us to follow Him. That is the ultimate call. To follow Him and lead others. There's an old song by an early Christian music group called Love Song. It's called Two Hands. It's about bringing people along in your faith. And the end of the song says, with your two hands, with one reach out to Jesus, and with the other bring a friend. Catch a fish. Offer someone some hope. Point someone the way to this Christ
whom we worship and whom we serve.